Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Increased tension between Israel and Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. The U.S. has announced it will be deploying additional troops to the region in the event American citizens in Lebanon will need help leaving the country. Here's ABC Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz in Tel Aviv.
The State Department would make the determination whether to order an evacuation. But even before this intense round of Israeli bombing, the State Department warned Americans living in Lebanon to get out of the country while commercial travel was still available. That could become much more complicated if the airports were hit.
President Biden to address the UN General Assembly today, expected to discuss that conflict as well as the one in Gaza and others. Ukraine expected to be a topic. President Volodymyr Zelensky is expected to speak to the UN Security Council today. What's expected to become a tropical storm? Helene taking aim at Florida's northern Gulf Coast. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Former President Donald Trump is coming back to the Badger State. He's set to hold a rally in Prairie du Chien on Saturday, the adopted hometown of Derek Van Orden, one of his biggest supporters in the House of Representatives. Van Orden is being challenged by Democrat Rebecca Cook in November. Meanwhile, the Trump campaign is currently on a bus tour throughout Wisconsin. Today, they're in Appleton, Green Bay, and Beaver Dam. The last time Trump was in Wisconsin, it was in Wausau just about 2 weeks ago. And former Governor Tommy Thompson says he wants former President Donald Trump to campaign in the state's two bluest counties. He says Wisconsin is not a done deal for Kamala Harris and says Trump's team should come to Dane and Milwaukee counties, which he called, quote, the belly of the beast. In 2020, Joe Biden won 75% of the vote in Dane County and 69% of the vote in Milwaukee County. So it's yet to be seen whether the Trump team will take that advice. That's what you need to know. Now here's some news from closer to home.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Former President and current Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump will make a stop in southwestern Wisconsin on Saturday. Trump's campaign rally will be at the Prairie du Chien Area Arts Center. Trump will speak around 11:30 a.m. Saturday. It's Trump's second visit to the area in a month. On August 29th, Trump spoke at a full crowd inside the La Crosse Center. Prairie du Chien is the home city of Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden. Tickets for the campaign stop are available on Trump's campaign website. The Wisconsin Counties Association Conference continues today, which brings almost 1,000 officials from around the state to La Crosse. The annual event features speakers and workshops that address current events and issues facing county governments. Today, U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde will speak to attendees, with Senator Tammy Baldwin providing remarks as well. All told, county officials from all of Wisconsin's 72 counties are expected to attend the event, which began yesterday. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Packers prep for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is 2-1 heading into this Sunday's matchup with the Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said it's been a team effort to win each of the last two games.
I think that can galvanize our team, and we needed everybody. Everybody's, you know, I don't want to say, because I'm a firm believer that you don't rise to the level of competition, you sink to the level of your preparation, and these guys prepare the right way, they come to work the right way, each and every day with a great attitude. We go out and we have some tough practices.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed two games with an MCL sprain, but could return this week. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Brewers have six games to play in the regular season. They are in Pittsburgh for three games starting tonight before a home series with the Mets. The playoffs start in October. And the kickoff times for the next two Wisconsin football games are set. They'll be at USC on Saturday with a 2:30 p.m. start. Then they come home to play Purdue a week from Saturday at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clement, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the low 70s for a high this afternoon with wind out of the east at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear, upper 40s. Tomorrow, sunshine, mid to upper 70s by Thursday. Plenty of sunshine with highs in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, a Western Wisconsin school district referendum includes a novel approach to helping their hometown create more childcare opportunities.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it was a beautiful fall day yesterday, and it's a dreary one today.
Rain. We needed rain. We got rain. We had songs for rain. We got rain.
We clearly needed rain, and by now you know who that fellow is on the other side. That's none other than Sandy Williams, my co-host. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm glad there's rain. Unlike our young friend who's apparently thinks it's a bad omen.
A curse.
Yeah, a curse. Yeah, I had Friday, I had all that music for rain. Now we got rain.
You know what? I was saying to my wife, it's been so dry over almost the entire month, between the end of October and
August.
Yeah, and now September, almost, you know, record kind of breaking droughts. And all I could think about is, man, how the animals. This has got to be, man, for birds and.
Oh yeah, I mean,
and squirrels and others. The fact that they can survive droughts is an amazing thing, right?
Yeah, they don't have canteens. No thermos.
They can't go to the store and buy a bottle of water.
No. They can't afford it.
No, there are no water coolers. Well, some have, you know, in your vast, land around. Do you have places?
Where got the river. We got the creek. There's water. I mean, there's standing water. There's lakes and things like that. So birds can fly to it. I suspect the land-bound animals have a little more difficulty.
So I have to respond to Brendan already this morning in a text message.
Hmm.
He wants to know if there's an off switch for my shirt.
Oh, well,
he's
obviously watching. Yeah,
come on.
It is flame yellow. Is that why they call you a flamer? I'm sorry. That was uncalled for.
No, man. You know, Sandy.
Yeah.
So much to talk about. I want to begin with this, Sandy. I want to challenge the narrative. 844-967-2789 is the number. That people say, I can't vote for Kamala Harris because she keeps changing her mind, and we don't know what her plans are. So because of that, I have no other choice but to vote for Donald Trump. So can you help me understand that way of thinking? Because I clearly, you know, I know what Donald Trump stands for, what he says, and even if it was true that Kamala Harris, you know, I said if, is we don't know where she stands on things and all those kind of things. How do you get from there to, I got to vote for Donald Trump?
Well, you know, the implication is that somehow they know what Donald Trump stands for. Well, they know that he was president for 4 years, and they can look at whatever coincidences in terms of occurrences that happened during those 4 years. But I think an analysis would suggest that little of what happened during his 4 years was a consequence of things he did. He had chaos during his 4 years. He had a revolving door of advisors. About the only legislation that passed during that period was his tax reduction, which was ill-guided and was itself inflationary. He had the pandemic and the god-awful governmental response, total chaos to the one single area of that required leadership and leadership expertise and policy, and it was a collapse. Now, with respect to the campaign, it's a complete blank slate. I mean, here's Donald Trump. Yesterday he was talking to farmers, and he said, if I'm not elected, you'll lose your farm. If I'm elected, I'm going to protect you farmers. I'm your protector. Now, declaring yourself to be someone's protector and announcing policies are way different things, right? In that context, he didn't discuss any policies. His reference could have been to his tariff policies. His tariff policies are, by admission, even of those who advocate tariffs, harebrained. You know, not going to work, not going to be a substitute for raising taxes other ways, not going to be a tax on foreign government, but rather going to be a tax on American consumers. And so, you know, to the extent that he has policies that he talks about, it's tariffs and tax cuts, very inflationary and not sound policy. So, you know, I have a problem. And then again, I think the person he demonstrates himself to be is fundamentally unsound. And so, you know, his declaration of being a savior, it seems to be an extension of his own sort of messiah complex. But, you know, he doesn't have policies to stand behind it, not ones that would work, not ones that he could implement that would be beneficial.
You know, Sandy, you said that he said he was going to be the protector of the farmers if he's elected. So here he is yesterday saying this, excuse me, Trump tells women, I am your protector at a Pennsylvania rally. There's clearly some correlation between him now saying he's going to be the protector.
Was that the same people? Same speech? This must have been his protector speech.
So former President Trump on Monday told women he would protect them if he is elected and attacked his opponent, Vice President Harris, as very dumb during a rally in key battleground of Pennsylvania.
Who was protecting the 11 women who accused him of assaulting them?
Well, Sandy, I thought that it was Donald Trump and Republicans who said that Democrats have been saying these negative things and it caused the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. And J.D. Vance said, that has to stop. So calling the vice president dumb?
Well, and also a danger to farmers, or a danger to women. His principle is to tell everyone, whatever you want, whatever you need, I'm going to provide that to you. You need a protector? I'm your protector. You need cheaper groceries? I'm going to make sure you get cheaper groceries. I want him to explain how it is that the president of the United States is going to make their groceries cheaper.
Well, so Trump at one point sought to directly address women in the audience, as polls have shown him trailing Harris with that demographic of voters. He read an extended version of a Truth Social post from over the weekend in which he said women would be happy and no longer thinking about abortion if he's elected. Sandy, can you explain to me how he's going to get into women's heads because he's the president?
Maybe he thinks they'll just be fantasizing about Donald Trump. You know, the fact is that one of the ways that he showed his misogyny was to talk to women by going to a grocery store, as if a grocery store is a woman's domain, and talking about the price of groceries so that he could be speaking to women in the territory in which they belong. It's again his concept of women. Once again, and the list of people who he's called very stupid is predominantly women. Okay. That's not an insult he chooses to use for men very often.
You left something out. He paid for a woman's groceries. You see that?
Yeah, well, he gave her a couple of dollars.
Yeah.
And he didn't give them to her out of his pocket. He went over to an aide and said, "Give me some money." And he gave it to her and said, "Here, you need some money to buy your groceries."
I make this statement to the great women of our country. Sadly, women are poorer than they were 4 years ago, are less healthy than they were 4 years ago, are less safe on the streets than they were 4 years ago, and are paying much higher prices for groceries and everything else than they were 4 years ago, Trump said.
We should take that apart. They are not more endangered on the streets than they were 4 years ago. They're actually safer on the streets than they were 4 years ago. All of those things, other than the price of groceries, which have gone up, all of those other things are untrue. He made them up.
Well, Sandy, I will fix all of that, and fast. And at long last, this nation and national nightmare will end. It will end, Trump said, because I am your protector. I want to be your protector as president. I have to be your protector. I hope you don't make too much of it. I hope the fake news doesn't go, "Oh, he wants to be their protector." Well, I am. As president, I have to be your protector. Is this the same guy who said, "Grab a woman by there"?
Yeah.
Is this the same guy who said, "Beautiful women allow you, you just grab them and kiss them"?
Yeah.
Is that the same guy?
That's the same guy that's been accused by 11 women of assault. It's the same one who's, yes. I mean, his view of women is well established.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
No question. His view of women and how he's treated women has been horrible.
Yeah, and his process for choosing the women that are around him, it clearly
have to be good looking.
It's a glamour test.
Yeah,
yeah, and you know, there's very little other excuse for having this Loomer woman hanging around.
Well, she's not exactly a glamour.
I don't know what she is exactly, but she's hanging around.
I know. You know, Sandy, the thing about all of this that is so mind-boggling to me is none of this stuff sticks. Right?
Right. Well, I think I said before, when you run your life openly and notoriously, when you have no secrets, it's somehow people give you a blank check.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday. My co-host Sandy Williams and you got a lot more on the other side.
Eagle 1490 AM.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care.
and a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar. Something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
They know it's a better world for them and think if they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. Much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there. If you care enough for the living, make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world.
All right, I hate to even interrupt that. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas, at that same number. It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, that music.
Well, you know, Friday had music for rain, and it rained. So today I've got music about world peace. And maybe, I'm not sure I can get the same result, but... we can all wish for it.
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely. I want to just continue a couple more paragraphs that Donald Trump at a rally on yesterday, and then we'll move on. But Trump, during Monday's rally, lambasted Harris throughout the event, attacking her intelligence, even as Republicans have urged him to focus on policy, and as his running mate has urged Democrats to turn down their rhetoric. Following another assassination attempt against Trump, she's worse than him, Trump said, comparing Harris to President Biden. I'm telling you, watch. She's not as smart as him. She's not smart. He never was smart, but she is a very dumb person. That's the King's English, right?
Oh, yeah.
And,
and he's the arbiter of smart.
And we can't do that. We can't do that. I don't want to be rude. Trump claimed a Harris presidency would tank the economy and lead to cities overrun by crime and immigration. At one point, he referenced Springfield, Ohio, a town that has been at the center of attacks from Republicans over an influx of Haitian migrants, leading his supporters to chant, "Send them back." And, do you think Springfield will ever be the same? I don't think so, Trump said. The fact is, and I'll say it now, you have to get them the hell out. You have to get them out. I'm sorry, get them out. Can't have it. They've destroyed it. Many Haitians are in the U.S. under protective temporary service. But Trump rallied with supporters in India. Let me just say this. Donald Trump sends out these racist tropes.
Yeah.
Constantly.
I mean, it's not dog whistling anymore.
No.
No, it's overt, and somehow it's okay. You know, it comes out of his mouth. If it came out of somebody else's mouth, there would be mountains of criticism, and that person would be ostracized. He'd be treated like David Duke, right? His behavior now is David Duke-like, but he's running for president of the United States, and he seems to be immune from the kind of a discussion of his behavior that is deserved. You know, the kind of criticism. You know, the there are explicit terms that can be used for his behavior: racist, xenophobic. You know, this notion of racial purity smacks of fascism. It's, you know, all these things, and yet he would say those are radical terms, you know, that are going to cause people to try and, you know, be violent against me, when his language is pure violence. Get them out.
You know, Sandy, and then it would be different if he was standing alone saying those things and there weren't throngs of people behind him. Yay!
Yeah. I mean, he's saying these things because the people feed on it, and he feeds on it. It's a mutual. It's like a shark feeding frenzy, which is all about this kind of cultural purity, tribalism, that's born out of fear. You know, he's stoking cultural fears that are extremely problematic.
So I want to get back before we move forward, Sandy, with challenging the narrative again that people are supporting him because Kamala is so bad and they don't know anything about what she stands for. We clearly know what he stands for when he makes the statements that I've been reading here yesterday. The people who support him and say, well, we've got to vote for Donald Trump because we don't know what Kamala stands for.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is what they want to point at is what went on during his presidency. Okay, low inflation. If low inflation was so good, they should be congratulating Barack Obama for his period of extremely low inflation, right? There was inflation disappeared, went down to essentially zero during the Obama presidency, and that's what Donald Trump inherited. He inherited an economy with a Federal Reserve Bank that was setting interest rates very, very low because we were coming out of a recession that sprang up during the George Bush the second, at the end of his administration. It took us 8 years to recover. We were still recovering from it when Donald Trump took over. And we continued that recovery during his presidency, and he wants to lay claim to the recovery that he inherited.
But go ahead.
And then the only thing he implemented was the tax cut and the mayhem and chaos during the pandemic, which incidentally contributed to the supply chain the complete blockage in the supply chain. And I would remind people, one of the harbingers of the inflation was the fly-up in used car prices. That fly-up in used car prices happened during the Trump administration.
You know, Sandy, the people who support him don't hear any of what you just said. Even that truth you just spoke, it doesn't register with them, right? I mean,
apparently, because tribalism is a very, very important, it's in our DNA if it's stoked enough through fear. You know, fear and emotion overrides sort of the societal values.
All right, 844-967-2789. It's Tuesday, it means Tuesdays, with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
Listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Political parties are putting a lot of effort into the youth vote here in Wisconsin. Some analysts say young people alone could decide the election. Ever since Kamala Harris was named the nominee, there has been about a 20% jump in enthusiasm from Wisconsin voters age 18 to 29. That means social media may play a bigger role than ever. Hilario De Leon is chair of the Milwaukee County Republican Party.
Everyone's on it. We get our news from it. I have a TikTok account. I have my own social media platforms that I do. Any major, you know, corporation, company, sports team, political group, they all have social media.
Matthew Lehner is chair of the College Democrats of Wisconsin.
Social media is one of the big reasons why Janet Protasiewicz did so well in the 2023 Supreme Court election. I think you're going to see that again in 2024.
14% of young Wisconsin voters are still undecided. That's more than double any other age group. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Former UW lacrosse chancellor Joe Gall made his case to keep his tenured faculty position at a UW system committee hearing last week. On Friday, the UW Board of Regents will make the final decision. Gall was fired as chancellor in December after UW officials learned he was producing and appearing in online pornography. Earlier this year, a UW lacrosse panel recommended removing Gall from his faculty position. The Board of Regents will meet Friday morning at 8 a.m. and consider the recommendations of both panels. Nearly a quarter of school districts in Wisconsin are seeking yes answers to referendum questions this fall, and that includes the West Salem School District, which is asking two questions. One is a $3.5 million operational referendum. The other is a $28 million facilities referendum, which would, among other things, add space for career and tech ed programming. The district is holding info sessions at its district office Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., and Thursday, noon to 1 p.m. Another session will be held next Wednesday.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Zendaya says she's not sure if fame is for her. The two-time Emmy and Golden Globe winner says for some people, the power that comes from fame is part of the draw. And I don't know if that's for me, she said before yelling at her assistant that her water is not room temp. Just kidding. My advice to the star of Dune 2 before she throws it all away to become a regular schlub like the rest of us, try fame for another 10 to 20 years, save your money, and if you still don't like it, then walk away. Part 2 is not even in theaters yet, but director Ridley Scott is already talking about Gladiator 3. Scott says the way Gladiator 2 ends is very similar to Godfather 2, where Michael Corleone finds himself with a job he didn't want. So Scott says he has been kicking ideas around for Part 3. Scott told Premiere Magazine recently that Gladiator 2 is one of the best films he's ever made. The film stars Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Pedro Pascal, and Denzel Washington, and hits theaters November 22nd. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the low 70s for a high this afternoon with wind out of the east at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear, upper 40s. Tomorrow, sunshine, mid to upper 70s by Thursday. Plenty of sunshine with highs in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first-time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls' trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Bill Carroll, President, Teamsters Joint Council 39, and Ben Wickler, Chair of Wisconsin Democratic Party. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday. This is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the music.
Peace. I wanted rain on Friday. Today, I want peace. This is all about peace in the world. That was George Harrison.
You know, we're going to talk a little bit about the changing, you know, winds of, you know, what really looks to be a difficult time in world peace that are upon us. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. First, I just want to say that, you know, I do believe in we the people are the government, and I do believe in democracy. And the way Trump talks, all he talks about is I. And all he talks about is I will fix it. You know what? Not one person can ever fix anything. It's got to be we the people. It's got to be a combination of people that actually fix problems in the world. And I just really think to all of the Republicans out there, people that are thinking about voting for him, he's such an insult to the American people's intelligence. He's an insult to his voters' intelligence. He acts like they're just naive little children. And like a five-year-old, or like a parent, when a kid's 5 years old, the parent will fix it. And that's not the way the world works, especially when we become adults and we can, you know, pull up our big pants and we can, you know, brush our own teeth and everything like that. So I just really would wish that these people that are voting for him would really look at the insult that he makes on you when he just says he's going to handle it all. I'm going to do this. I'm going to protect women. I'm sorry. That's the end of the democracy.
Well,
he talks like a dictator. He is a dictator.
Well, there's a substantial group of people who are supporting him, Tom.
Yeah, but I hope that that's 30%. But Sandy, I do want to ask you one question. Can you please compare and contrast between the two candidates' policies on child care, health care, taxes, and rent or mortgage? Can you just tell us what the actual policies are for each candidate at this time? I'd really appreciate that, and I'll take my answer.
Thank you very much for the call.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact is that Donald Trump's a blank slate with respect to policies associated with the things you just described. He's talked to people about, again, saving them, you know, and using that kind of language, protecting them, et cetera. But Kamala's actually talked about extending the child tax credit. She's talked about incentivizing housing costs in a variety of ways. She's talked about incentivizing a small business development and creation. So she's actually painted a rather definite picture of real policies, not just I'm going to solve the problem. She talks about the mechanism she's going to use to solve these problems, and she's talked about each one of them. She's talked about health care. She's talked about trying to minimize the costs of health care. So she's really talked about each one of the fundamental budget problems that I talked about last Friday that's faced by the median middle-class family. She's actually talking about actual policies. Donald Trump is just talking in platitudes, again, saying, I will solve these problems. Most of them are not subject to being solved by the office of the president, okay? Most of them require a legislative process to be solved and also leadership and direction, okay?
Well, you know, I mean, let's be honest. The people who support Donald Trump don't care one iota about the policies that Kamala Harris has clearly talked about.
Well, I think they would care about it if they weren't blinded by an emotional thrust that's been put to them, in which they've apparently bitten on the bait.
Succumbed to.
Yeah, the bait is out there. The chum is in the water. And unfortunately, our DNA is such that the tribalism is something that's easy to catch a hold of if we can make people frightened. So what's the frightened card? Immigration. Immigration is the fright card. He exaggerates, uses hyperbole and falsehood to try and paint immigrants as a fundamental danger, a criminal element, something that's going to destroy our society. So that's the fear. Now he can talk to these frightened people in tribalistic terms, and they are blind to the logic associated with what it is they really need or want, because it's been whipped up in them. So much of America, which is residing in the median income range below and above the median income, who face all these budgetary problems, if they vote for Donald Trump, are simply going to do so because they've been blinded by his rhetoric from their real interest, which is to try and solve these problems. And there's only one candidate who's talking about solving those problems. Donald Trump wants to exacerbate them with tariffs that'll raise the price of everything. He wants to exacerbate it with tax cuts that will fundamentally increase the disequilibrium in the distribution of wealth in this country. So everything he talks about, actually, if people thought about it, will exacerbate the problems of Tom, Dick, and Mary who reside at or near the median income.
So I watched some of the rally yesterday, and you know what I saw? The same thing that he was doing 8 years ago when he was the president, before he became the president, having those rallies, entertaining the people who were around him. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. By the way, Barack Hussein Obama. Yay, yay. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. So Tom just asked you to talk about, you know, the policies. We all know Donald Trump has no policies. But Sandy, the frightful thing is that doesn't register with a significant group of people in this country.
Well, what the people want to do is point to the four-year experience. They better only point at a three-year experience, because the last year, subject to the period of the pandemic, was a disaster, okay? It was a chaotic economy. It was a chaotic public policy situation. It was a chaotic public health situation. The first 3 years was a continuation of the
Obama
economy, which was then they poured gasoline on the fire with a tax reduction that wasn't needed in order to fire up the economy. We already had a hot economy, and we continue to have an economy which is very, very strong. You know, the stock market just set another high record yesterday.
Was it 42,000?
Yeah, if you want to use the stock market, which is Donald Trump's favorite index, you know, it's stronger than ever. But the fact is that what's going to affect our Tom, Dick, and Mary situation is public policy. Policies being implemented. It's not simply an economy. And I might point out that some of the callers who call in and want to talk about how it is that the tax reduction would have worked but for the pandemic, I might just point out that the whole trickle-down process, that concept was initiated with Ronald Reagan, and it didn't work, and the people who back it say, well, it would have worked except for the recession that came in the late 80s and early 90s, okay? And then George Bush
Voodoo economics.
George Bush II had a tax reduction, which was going to pay for itself because of trickle down. Okay. It didn't work. It didn't work because of the massive recession we had at the end of his term. Okay. Donald Trump implements one. It didn't work because of a recession. Okay. But those recessions aren't disconnected from the tax reduction. The inflation we had in the first years of the Biden administration is not disconnected from that inflationary tax cut that occurred during the Trump years. And the fact is that there is no basis for demonstrating that Tom, Dick, and Mary benefit from the kind of tax reductions which have been implemented.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Morning, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. I know you won't give me enough time, but to listen to Sandy duck and weave and contort himself. Who's president? Who's vice president right now? Yep.
Hey, Joe Biden, if you
ever saw him, and it's Kamala Harris.
Hey, CJ.
We're living their policy.
Hey, CJ. Again, man. You know, I mean.
Let me just know. That's okay. CJ, you'll give you enough rope. You can hang yourself. But CJ, we're living the policies and the policies that are described as a disaster, you know, that this nightmare will end, Donald Trump said during the rally yesterday. Tell me about the nightmare that's occurring right now here in the United States with respect to the policies. today, not the inflation that we had during the first 2 years, but tell me the nightmare that's occurring right now that will end.
How about the sanctuary cities? How about the
sanctuary cities?
Wait, can I finish?
No,
can
you
I
can't.
Finish? No, well, no, go ahead.
No, because enough of him changing the subject. We're talking about the subject that we're talking about, CJ. You know, if you can't stick with the subject that we're talking about, we can't have a conversation. I'm sorry.
You were talking about the border.
No, we were not talking about the border.
We weren't talking.
We haven't mentioned the border once.
My question was, what is the nightmare today that's the result of the policies of this administration that will end, that is subjecting the United States citizenry, Tom, Dick, and Mary, to the nightmare? What is the nightmare?
Well, I guess, I'm a landowner, or I own some apartments, and have you tried to have tenants that can afford what people are paying for rent right now, Sandy?
We'll take these one at a time. So the reason for the increase in the price, the rental price, has to do with a shortage of housing, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, really? What does it have to do with? What is it? What is it in the marketplace that controls the price of rent?
It has to do with, well, I tell you what, you guys need to get out more, because I tell you what's causing it is illegal aliens.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Let's move on. You know, number one, that has nothing to do with the subject that we've been talking about, okay? We've got people waiting on the line who want to talk about the subject that we're talking about. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Well, I'll talk about the economy. I'll talk about what we're living in. In the last year, my son retired. In the last year, my portfolio has gone higher than it's gone, I think, since I've been retired. I've been retired 25 years, CJ. So let's talk about the economy. Let's talk about rent. My family has a lot of rental properties. They're all full to capacity, and they're all doing well. I don't know who you're renting to or what your prices are, but maybe you should own apartment buildings if they're really a burden on you. You just said they're a burden. They can't afford it. Well, dump them. That apartment building will be bought up quickly. Don't give something air when it can't hold air, CJ. But let's just move forward. Donald Trump said, and I quote, if I shot somebody in downtown New York, nothing would happen. He's right. He's a convicted felon 34 times. He's a sexual predator with convictions, two impeachments, 11 bankruptcies. He averages a bankruptcy about every decade. This is a leader? A million people died under him during COVID. Shelves were empty under him during COVID. Have you forgotten all that? You know, we have to wake up and smell the roses. So here's the bottom line. If you believe in democracy, if you believe in credibility and honesty, vote for Kamala. If you believe in criminal activity, vote for Donald. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Bill. Guys, hang on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM WLCX and on the Civic Media app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
We gotta have peace to keep the world alive and war to cease. We gotta have joy to win our hearts with strength we can't destroy. People hear us.
Curtis Mayfield. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text it at that same number, Sandy, to music.
That's about peace, and all about peace. And, you know, there's so much music about peace. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to work, but
yeah.
there's lots of it, and most of it's pretty good.
Let's do this. Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. I just quickly wanted to respond to CJ and just echo the sentiments from the previous caller before you went on break. I own a small single-family home that I rent out. And in 2004, I purchased that home for under $50,000. Today, that home, I could put it on the market and at least triple my value easily. Probably, I could probably get any more, probably get more. Now, the issue here is when I purchased that home, it was considered a starter home for young families. Today, a starter home for young families is between $175,000 to $225,000, depending upon the area where you live in. And one thing I will say about CJ that, you know, that's a problem with the home in terms of landlords, and it's a cost that that's not being addressed, and that is property taxes. And it is a local issue. My property taxes, I just received notice that my home will be reassessed, and I already know my property taxes are going to go up. So that's the cost that landlords are absorbing, and unfortunately, we have to pass that along to the tenants that we rent. So, that's all I wanted to say.
Well, you
there's
know,
a lot going.
You live in Middleton, and Middleton is a fast-growing community. And so with all of the expansion that's going on, you know, the taxes are certainly going to go up. You know, in other areas across the nation and across the state and across cities, they're not growing as fast as Middleton. And so you know, property taxes aren't, you know, exploding like they are.
Well, one of the problems is that the way the state legislatures have set things up, the revenue source for municipalities ends up being property taxes, which are regressive. And, of course, if the value of a house goes up, the flip side of that increase in wealth is the increase in the taxation on that wealth. But, you know, nationally, people with wealth have resisted being taxed on wealth, right? They want to be taxed on income. But locally, people are taxed on wealth, which is essentially the measurement of the value of a property, which is much like the measurement of the value of stocks in a stock portfolio, except one is tangible and one is intangible. Part of the problem with property taxes is the regressive policies of conservative state legislatures and their desire to kind of strangle cities. Milwaukee, in particular, has gone through this process of trying to find revenue streams independent from property taxes to support the costs that are associated with large metropolitan areas. Madison is growing rapidly and is beginning to develop into a large metropolitan area.
Cassandra?
My property, it's not in Dane County. It's actually in Winnebago County. But what you stated, it's applicable all across the state of Wisconsin. But property taxes are an issue, especially for the elderly. Many of them, depending on the area, your property tax is sometimes higher than your actual mortgage.
So Cassandra, how do you fix that?
To be quite honest, I don't know. It's just an observation I was making. But, you know, thanks for taking the
call. All right, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, the fact that the property taxes are what they are, And yes, they're pretty difficult for people to swallow. A lot of people, it's the only wealth that they've accumulated, and it's the only thing that, you know, separates them from
It's an interesting argument that I just made that I hadn't thought of before, because the world has accepted the world in the United States, at least, has accepted the notion of taxing the wealth, which is reflected by a home value, but they reject the notion of taxing the wealth that is associated with the value of money in a portfolio. And, they're not intellectually very different from one another in terms of being forms of wealth. And if we can tax wealth on the one hand, we can probably tax it on the other as well.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Guys, hang on. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
Listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Kristen Wolf returns from Democrats Abroad. If you live overseas, your vote counts too. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above lacrosse,
This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.